Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. A new study by the National Institutes of Health has raised a lot of questions about breast cancer, black women, and permanent hair dye and hair straightening products. The results are based on data from 46,709 women enrolled in what is titled the Sister Study. Now, participants all had a sister diagnosed with breast cancer, but were cancer-free themselves. Dr. Dale Sandler is the chief of epidemiology at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and co-author of the study. I spoke to her by phone today.
Monsignor Rossi said he's going to ensure
We will get that sound from her in just a bit. There we are.
What we found was that overall there was a small increase in breast cancer risk associated with use of hair dyes, and also an increased risk associated with use of chemical straighteners. In terms of black women, what we did find is that the association between hair dye and breast cancer was stronger in the black women than it was in the white women. And for chemical straighteners, we found that Although the risk was the same in black women and white women who use chemical straighteners are much more commonly used by black women.
Now, tonight we are talking about that study and what it means for black women. My guests are Dr. Tamara Hudson, Associate Professor of Pharmacology with the Howard University Cancer Center. Also, Keith Harley. He's a trichologist and hair and scalp specialist. Lines are open if you have a comment or question about this study coming out of NIH last week. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Hudson, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Harold.
Absolutely. Keith, thanks for joining the program. Keith, are you there? We will get Keith in just a bit.
Yes, I'm here, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay, wonderful. Let me start with Dr. Hudson. Dr. Hudson, you've read this study. What does it say to you specifically?
Well, when you really look at the results of this study, although they're weak, they're important because you have to begin to look at the constituents that are in a lot of these products. And the constituents that are in these products, we call them endocrine disrupting chemicals.
What does that mean for those of
us
who did not go to med school?
Just in a nutshell, I don't want to get down in the weeds, but when you're talking about the endocrine system, it's just a collection of glands that produce hormones which regulate metabolism, growth and development, tissue regeneration. It deals with sexual function, reproduction, and a number of other different systems. So as you can see, when you have these sort of endocrine disrupting chemicals, they have the ability to cause breaks in the DNA. And if you can cause a break in the DNA, that means that you can inhibit DNA repair. You can increase the number of epithelial cells in terms of replication. Meaning in the mammary gland, you have these cells. And so what it means is that you're causing a high degree of proliferation, within, say, the mammary gland. And so, this study really deals with chemicals that can be absorbed through the scalp, right? Which can actually get to the mammary tissue and other tissues within the body.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about are not only these endocrine disrupting chemicals, which are called, say, aromatic amines. That's basically what they are, aromatic amines. For instance, if I tell you one of these chemicals, it's really going to disturb. So I won't do that. But let me stop you. Yes, yes.
I'm your patient.
Okay.
I didn't go to med school.
Right.
Keep it simple.
Yes.
There are women out there that are concerned about this study.
Yes.
They are concerned. There are women out there who have been getting their hair straightened.
Yes.
They've been getting their hair dyed.
Yes.
And now the study comes out and it says that there may be an increased risk of breast cancer. What is that study saying?
So this study, actually, you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a sister study, they actually use women or recruited women that had at least one sister who had cancer. So the study in a nutshell, will only be generalizable to that particular population because now you're talking about a family history of cancer. You have to consider that, right? And so this study also looked at a number of other confounding factors, meaning premenopausal, postmenopausal. They also looked at menses in terms of women. They looked at smoking history. So there are a number of different factors that you have to consider as well within this study in terms of the influence of, say, constituents of hair dye, right? And so you have to be somewhat careful because the results were actually marginal at best. They were weak. Now, there are other studies out there. That was one actually done here at Howard University, and it linked up with some other institutions, the Black Women's Health Study, which was inconclusive about finding an association with hair dyes and breast cancer risk. But then there are other studies like the Ghana Health Study, Breast Cancer Health Study, actually found association with hair dye and breast cancer risk. And so I think it's important. What this study is saying is that there needs to be more research done to untangle the association with these hair dyes and chemical straighteners as it relates to breast cancer risk among African-American women.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about this NIH study that came out just last week that is talking about the risk between a hair dye, hair straighteners, and breast cancer in Black women. If you have a comment or a question about it, give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Keith, you've been styling hair for a very long time. You've been styling hair for Black women for a very, very long time. Simple question for you, and not just as it relates to you individually, but as it relates to your peers, how realistic is it to expect that the person who was doing your hair knows what's in the chemicals that you're putting in the hair for dyeing and straightening?
Well, that's one of the things that we learn in school and in training and ongoing training is to understand what chemicals and what products are used on our clients. And with this study coming out, this is when the professional really needs to step up and learn about their client, learn about the products, and learn about application. Because this study is important. Even there, like as the doctor said, some of the studies are inconclusive, but it has raised the flag. And so what we have to do now is go back and understand that we need to first do our consultations with our clients. We need to understand that application is very important. We need to understand that we go back to the basics. And for instance, when you're using chemicals, it's important that we base the scalp and protect the scalp away from the chemical. There's a lot of things that we can do right now that will take us back to the basics that could probably help with this issue of people that have concerns when it comes to chemicals and colors.
But how much do you really know about the chemicals that are there? I mean, if I look at, if you look at a jar of straightener or dye,
mm-hmm.
is it, again, is it, can I assume that the person who's doing my hair knows what all of these chemicals are?
9 times out of 10, no. What they do is they have to be educated from the manufacturer who educates them on what's in the product and then what the product does. And again, that's why I say we have to go back to the, it's important. And let me just say to you, and I've been on this show before, I've always said, you know, kitchen beauticians, people that are doing hair at home or out of their kitchen or something of that nature, and they're buying these products out of the local community beauty supply stores, this is when we really have to raise a red flag and say, okay, now I can't be doing this. Now I can't just run out anywhere in these communities and buy these chemicals and these products, because not only are the people that are applying the product are damaging the scalp and the hair, but they don't even know what's in the chemical. They don't even know how to apply it. So this has added to some of the concerns that we have to have in our industry. It's a red flag. It's huge.
He brings up a very important point. Because one of the issues we're having is that a lot of these products are not adequately tested for safety. And then,
absolutely.
In addition, they're not adequately tested for endocrine disrupting chemicals as well.
Yep.
Do you know in the early 2000s is when they start introducing formaldehyde in a lot of these chemicals?
Yep.
Up until then, it had not been introduced.
Yep. So here's, okay, so.
A lot of people did not know that formaldehyde was in the products that he is referring to. It took them a couple of years to realize that that was an issue. And not even the stylist knew it. But then they found out about it through the media. And that's when it raised the flag. So again, this goes back to, we have to go back to the basics. We have to learn, make sure that we understand proper application. We have to make sure that we understand that we have a relationship with the manufacturers to understand what is in the product. We have to do consultations on our clients to make sure what they can and they cannot do based on their hair type and their scalp. Every client that comes to my clinic, we make sure that they fill out a consultation form.
But then, hold on, Keith, here's the thing. And obviously, yes, you're mm-hmm. right. You don't want hair breakage. You don't want damage to the scalp and things of that. That's not what this report is. That's not what this study is talking about. This study is talking about the risk of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have to ask the doctor because obviously I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you're concerned, Doc, is this the first study that you've heard that even in some small way linked hair treatments to breast cancer in Black women?
No, this is not the first study.
Okay.
There is actually another study that has done it as well, and it's called the Women's Circle Health Study. Now, the issue, though, with that study was the potential of what we call recall bias. As you know, this is a self-reported element within a lot of these prospective studies where they have to be able to recall, say, the amount of dye they use or the types of dye they use, whether it's permanent, whether it's semi-permanent, whether it's temporary. And I think one of the issues that that should not be escaped in this conversation is the fact, and I think the other person brought it up in the fact that when you go home and use these products,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that becomes an issue. Now, if you're going out, to a beautician and you're getting it done there, now you have the ability to ask them what type of products are you using. But when you're getting it off the shelf, that becomes a greater risk as well in regards to the development of some of these diseases that are associated with the chemicals within a lot of these products.
Let me quickly go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Latrice, be quick. I'm going to have to hold you over when we take a break, but go right ahead, please. Latrice, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead, please.
So I guess my question would be, is the reduction of, say, for instance, the culture of our Anglo-Saxons where they no longer put a lot of ammonium thioglycolate. So the thing that African American women have always used is basically sodium hydroxide or some form of lye in their hair. So would this study be more for people who are recently showing that this study is showing more cancer being developed in women of culture as opposed to the Anglo-Saxon woman who no longer really uses ammonium thioglycolate?
Your thoughts about that real quick. And Latrice, I need you to hold on into the break. Go right ahead.
Yes, you actually bring up, that's what I'm saying, you bring up a very important point. And that point is that the chemicals that African American use that are introduced into these products provides probably a greater risk in terms of growth and development. In terms of hormone production, because as you know, these chemicals actually increase estrogen. And so that's an important point she brings up.
Latrice, I need you to hold on because there's something that I want you to hear on the other side. Also, Rachel calling from Virginia. We're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about this NIH study that discusses the risk between black hair treatment, and breast cancer. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141, as will the phone calls, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about a new study from the National Institutes of Health about black hair treatment, black women, and black hair. My guests are Dr. Tamaro Hudson. He is Associate Professor of Pharmacology with the Howard University Cancer Center, and Keith Harley, trichologist and hair and scalp specialist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We had Latrice on the line. I wanted to play another part of the interview that I had earlier today with Dr. Dale Sandler. She is Chief of Epidemiology at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. She is also co-author of the study that we are talking about. And this is another part of what she said today.
So we did not calculate the absolute risk, which we think would be lower. So the number of new breast cancer cases that can be attributed to breast cancer to hair dye use is probably small, because breast cancer, even though one in eight women over their lifetime to develop breast cancer, the annual rates of breast cancer are actually quite low. So by looking at this relative risk, it looks like a big relative risk, but it's not a doubling in risk. It's less than that, and it also has some uncertainty associated with it. Another study that looked at, for example, hair straighteners, we found an increased risk associated with hair straighteners, but another cohort study of black women found no relationship between hair straighteners and breast cancer risk. So the jury is out. We need more research, and we do not know specifically what it is about the products that relate that are associated with the increase in breast cancer risk, and so we need to do more research.
One of the things that, and I think we should be very, very clear about this, is that, the doctor says that this is not about incidence of breast cancer. This is about risk. And there is a significant difference in actual incidence and incidence of what would be considered risk. Your thoughts about what she said, and then I'll let Latrice finish up. Go right ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, she was correct in her statement in that this did not deal with the number of new development of breast cancer in African-American population. It's just dealt with the risk associated with it. But even with that, it did not meet sort of the threshold that would be needed when we're talking about these type of associations with chemicals to in the scientific community to really sound the alarm, right? Mm-hmm. But just take a step back. It's still, for me, and I think for the community of African American and Black women, I think it still should sound some type of alarm because, like what was said previously, they use a lot of these products at home, right? They're doing a lot of these usage at home without any oversight. And mm-hmm. so I think it's still relevant in the fact that you have to be cognizant of the fact that there is risk associated with using a lot of these products.
Latrice, your final thoughts before I let you go.
Well, I just think that we have a tendency as African-American women where we're not only applying one particular product as far as sodium hydroxide, we're also doing we're doing peroxide on our hair as far as color and chemical straightener. So I think we're just higher risk because, like I said before, Caucasian women are no longer using ammonium thioglycolate anymore. We very seldom see a Caucasian woman getting a perm anymore. So now we see a lot more African-American women where we're doing straighteners on top of hair color. So we're doing double chemicals. So we're imparting into our bodies more chemicals than the average person would of another race or culture.
Okay. Latrice, thank you so much for that. Keith, your thoughts about that?
She's absolutely right, and he is absolutely right. One of the things that I just find that is just so important is that we, as a community, we're letting outside communities come into our communities and open up these beauty supply stores, and they're going more to the beauty supply stores than they are to the professionals. And the people that work in these, and I've said this before, the people that work in these beauty supply stores are not cosmetologists or licensed. The majority of them aren't. So they just tell you what you need. They'll buy all these products and they will use them incorrectly. And it just pretty much gives them the opportunity for what this young lady was just talking about. If you're going to a professional and they know when they use these chemicals and they are licensed, they know how to apply them. In the sister study, when you read it, it says, there is a difference between and I'm just going to keep it, you know, basic, because if I go into the chemicals and people are trying to understand, but there's a difference between the permanent color, the semi-permanent color, and the rinse. It said it was the permanent color that was giving people risk. Mm-hmm. It stated in it that it was not the semi-permanent color or the rinse. Then it stated in one of the reports that it depends on if you apply the relaxer. How long does it stay in your head? How often do you use it? See, these, like the young lady just said, it's, you're constantly using these products, but are you using them correctly? And are you protecting the scalp for it going in? And probably the doctor can talk more about this. It's when you're adding this stuff to your scalp, which is going within the scalp, that's when it becomes an issue. That is usually not proper application, period. And I'm the consumer, but I also stand for the professional, and that's where we need to start.
So just to keep it simple, they both talk about two really important points: dose levels and timing of exposure. So So you know that a lot of our young women are actually being exposed earlier to a lot of the dyes and a lot of these hair products early on when they're getting their hair straightened. And so that becomes a issue because they can have an effect on menses. It can have an
that, yes, right, you just
and
said it.
And it can have an effect right on there. Prolonged puberty. And so you're really dealing with a number of issues besides breast cancer risk, which is an issue, but some other additional issues are related to these products as well.
Help me with that, Dr. Hudson. That that is the hammer on the nail right there. Because even though this study talks about breast cancer, I think you were speaking about what was in my head. Thank you for reading my brain. This, to me, isn't just about breast cancer risk and black hair. It, to me, this may be, and help me if I'm wrong here, this is about what we are doing to our bodies and the effect of what we are doing as it has on our health. As you just said, whether it's breast cancer, whether it's menstrual cycles, whether it is growth and development, it could be anything. It could be muscular development. It could be eyesight. It could be anything. Am I off the mark here?
No. As I indicated, if early on I'd said the endocrine system, right, mm-hmm. which is important. So I said it deals with this collection of glands and it in terms of the production of hormones. And as you know, so if you're going to have a lot of these chemicals being introduced and absorbed within the body, it can have abnormal effects, whether it has to do with puberty, whether it has to do with tissue development, whether it has to deal with menses, as indicated. And so we have to be quite concerned when we're, as the other caller said, we are using them outside the professionals. And we're actually going to these stores, and there's no oversight of these products, and we're actually absorbing these products into our bodies.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rick, calling from DC. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey.
Go right ahead. Yeah.
Yes, I'm a pharmacist by trade, and when I was in pharmacy school 20-some-odd years ago, a brother from Africa and myself were trying to do our senior research project on trying to find out what could be the long-term effects of our sisters from Africa and our sisters from America actually continuing the perm they had on a regular basis. And at that time, 20 years ago, we couldn't find anything on African-American women or in perming, but the study we found to use in our extrapolation and our outcome was the study on Caucasian women and the use of their thioglycolate and what the risk that they were being involved in 20 years ago. And we said then and extrapolated in our research that even if this is happening to them, and we know that African-American women were perming their hairs every four to 6 weeks, whether you're going to the hairdresser or doing it home. We're doing it to our kids at 6 and 7 years old. You know, we're starting to introduce these chemicals before the systems of all the endocrine system, the puberty system, all that is developed. We introduce all these chemicals, and it is a chemical reaction. They're breaking that disulfide bond to break the hair. Is a chemical reaction. It's elementary chemistry on your head that you're doing on a regular basis. So I think it's just a risk that we need to start to understand, whether you're doing it at the hairdresser or doing it at home, you're at risk. And like the, I can't remember who exactly said it, but there's so many systems that will be involved. The system for them, there's a subcranial portal system right under there that actually it's absorbed, and it sends it all through the body because it's a portal system. And once you get in the blood system, it can go anywhere.
Okay.
And so it can affect us for hormones. It can affect us for cardiovascular risk. So many risks are involved in this, and we need to start taking a look at it and not wait for so much research to realize that our health is at risk.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate that. Keith, one of the things that we often here, particularly in this day and age, and I'm sure you have been exposed to it. You mentioned manufacturers and what manufacturers are telling hair care professionals about the things that they are creating. I am not a hair care professional, mm-hmm. but I do know public relations, and just because it works doesn't necessarily mean that it's healthy, even if the manufacturer tells you it is quote unquote all natural. Then what is the alphabet soup on the back of this all natural product? Talk to mm-hmm. me a little bit about how you deal with what manufacturers are telling you and what you know is healthy for black hair.
Number one, I make sure, because since the industry, especially in our communities, the industry is changing rapidly. I make sure that I develop a relationship with the manufacturer and get all of the ingredients and the details when the product is introduced to me. That's number one. Number two, I make sure that there is proper training on the product and how to use it. Number three, let's go back again to the local and community beauty supply stores that are coming into our community. Not only are they getting product from our manufacturers, because that's how they generate income, but they're also taking that product, listen to this, redeveloping it under their own name to sell it themselves wholesale.
Say that one more time. Explain that again, please.
What the community and local beauty supply stores are doing that are not from our communities, they are literally buying from the manufacturers, quadrupling the price and selling it to the consumer, but also taking the product, sending it out of the country, redeveloping it, coming up with their own name, and selling it as well in their stores. So we don't know what they're using. We know what the local manufacturers are using in the United States, but we don't know what these local community beauty supply owners who are creating their own products out of the country that are shipping them into our communities and selling them to our consumers.
Here's my question for both of you, and I'll start with Keith. On the heels of this study, because I'll tell you, I was at an event on Saturday, and there was a doctor, a physician who specializes in cancer, who was talking about his book, and out of that audience came a question about this study. And there were lots of women in the audience who obviously had chemically straightened hair.
Mm-hmm.
How do those women in that audience, and any woman who is concerned about this study and the fact that they've been getting their hair straightened, they may not have breast cancer, they may not have history, but this thing is scaring people. How do they know that what they're putting in their hair or having put in their hair is safe? This could scare some folks into just doing afros, and I say that tongue in cheek, but mm-hmm. I think there's a real concern there.
Right. Again, going back to the basics, making sure that the person that they're receiving services from understands what. First, that they're licensed, two, that they're educated, and three, that they are, they are interviewing them like they would interview any doctor or anybody to make sure that they understand the product that they're using and understand the application. And based on the consultation, they can determine whether this person should not be getting chemicals or not.
Your thoughts real quick, doctor.
Yeah, I think Keith actually puts everything in a nutshell in regards to what women should do. And that is, there should be a healthy concern in regards to putting these products into your hair, but also being able to educate yourself about what you're putting inside your body. And that becomes important because, you know, as an adult, you have the ability to decide how much risk you want to take in regards to what you place inside your body. Yeah. But a child does not.
Yeah.
So I think this really goes to the ability of us to be careful when we're dealing with our children, I think, young girls, mm-hmm. in terms of what we're placing in their body. Is of concern. But as an adult, being able to educate yourself as a parent when it comes to these type of products. And like Keith indicated, know where you're getting your product from. Now, there's no way to be able to tell, because there's over 5,000 chemicals in these particular products.
Yeah, that
right?
That is
so
unnerving.
It's over 5,000 chemicals in within these hair dyes. So it's quite difficult. But you have to gauge the risk for yourself and educate yourself about what you're putting inside your product.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Anna, calling from D.C. Anna, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Anna, are you there? I think we may have lost Anna. Anna, give us a call back if you'd like. One of the other comments, one of the final comments that I was able to share with our listening audience is coming from Dr. Sandler as part of the interview that I did with her earlier. And this is another point that she was making earlier today.
I think the working phrase is overly concerned. I think it does suggest that hair dyes and chemical straighteners may contribute to risk, just as, you know, sort of other environmental exposures that we're concerned about may contribute in some small way to breast cancer risk. I think we'd like to see other studies before, women totally panic or change their lifestyles. But I think people should be aware that maybe, as I said, they can use semi-permanent dyes or go natural. If women are concerned, women should not necessarily wait around for the next study in 5 years. But people should know that it's not a cause. We have not established that it causes. We've just demonstrated an association.
Your thoughts about that, Keith, and I think you kind of alluded to that, permanent dyes versus semi-permanent dyes and rinses, mm-hmm. as well as, and she suggested, for example, that some women may want to go natural if they are, you know, really concerned about that. Your thoughts, mm-hmm. about that?
She's right. And, you know, we, like I said, they need to consult with the professional, and they need to determine what would be the best avenue for that client. For the listeners who are professionals and the listeners who are consumers, like the doctor said earlier, there's exposure when you do a chemical, like a relaxer, regardless of what type of relaxer it is. If you put a barrier between the scalp, the hair, and the relaxer or the chemical, that gives less exposure. This is what they teach in school. For instance, when you apply a chemical, you are to base the scalp. We use that terminology, base the scalp. That means putting some type of petroleum base. And maybe the doctor can put a little bit emphasis on this, but if there's a petroleum base that you apply to the scalp to keep the product from either burning or the scalp to be exposed to the chemical. If they do that properly, it should take care of the risk. However, you still have to consult with the consumer to see if they want to take that risk.
That's the other piece right there, because first of all, I would argue that there are a whole lot of black women who may say, because there may be a less permanent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they may have to come and see the Keith Harleys of the world more frequently, which means more money. That means that hairstyle is not going to last as long. And this isn't necessarily a conversation about straightened hair versus natural. But there is a large population of black women. They just say, you know, I'm not going to do natural. I'm just not going to do that. And and do whatever it ha- do whatever you have to do to make me beautiful in my eyes, if that means, you know, straight, you know, straight hair, then that's what I want, and protecting the scalp. And I don't know, I'm not a hairdresser, Keith, but if the treatment is less intense, does that mean that the hair is not as straight as she may be used to having it done?
Yeah. It's an investment. It's an investment. And they're going to have to, you know, it's a choice that they're going to have to make. You know, this conversation could go on and on and on.
Indeed.
We could go on into doing
especially when we have three black men talking about black women's hair. I'm sure I'm going to get email, but that's another issue. But go ahead.
So you know what? This is always a hot topic because black women and their hair does a lot for their self-esteem. It does a lot for their level 10 confidence, and they want to feel like they look their best at all times, and hair has a lot to do with it. So what we have to do as professionals is give them the professional options. Go back to the basics and do what we need to do to educate ourselves to make sure we give them the best services that's available to them and to give them great choices. But not only great choices, to make sure we consult with them to make sure they're making the right choice.
But Dr. Hudson, also, I'm sure that the thing that would give a lot of black women a great deal of self-esteem is also good health.
That is true. Now, I want to be quite careful here because I don't want to say that, you know, the house is just burning down completely. Right? Uh-huh. We want to be quite quick. Careful of that, and because Dr. Sandler actually brings up a very important point, and that is that this study did not prove that it was a contributing factor to the cause. It was an associated risk, and it was a weak one at that. So we have to be a little bit careful. But there are some other studies, like I said, the Ghana Breast Health Study, which indicated that there was a risk. But then there was also some other studies that's inconclusive. The thing that is somewhat absolute is that there are carcinogens that are in these products. And we know that carcinogens cause mutations. We already know that carcinogens, in particular, these particular products can cause breakage in the DNA. And basically that can cause abnormality. And so you are taking a risk when you do this, right? And so you have to, like Keith said, you have to consider being educated about what you're using, what type of application, how much of it you're using, the amount that you're using. All of that goes into play when you're talking about risk associated with these particular products.
Keith, have you... It's in the week or so since this has come out. As a matter of fact, this study came out 1 week ago today. Have any of your clients raised this question?
Oh, absolutely.
What are they saying?
They're asking, you know, what are our procedures? What are my thoughts? There are some clients that did call and said their sisters had breast cancer, and I told them that we needed to make an appointment and we need to determine whether we need to do other things. So we're adhering to the, you know, the study. And then we're also getting media calls. I mean, this has been, for the past week and a half, this has been unreal. This has been, I don't know if y'all remember when Chris Rock did a movie on hair crap.
Yes.
And this created a monster. Well, this situation has created so much awareness that people are concerned, which is a good thing, which is a good thing. And hopefully this will make a change in our community, our business, and the beauty industry. And people will be more mindful to what they use, how they use it, where they're going to get it, and who is the professional and who is not.
Are you making a shift as a result of this study in your practices, in what you are using on your clients, techniques and the like?
No, because we were doing that, as again, we took the study of trichology and added it to our services. So this is something that we were doing from the beginning. We have a, I'll just give you an example. We have a complete four-page worksheet that every client fills out before they even come to us about their family history, medications, everything. So one of the things that is on our questionnaire is about cancer. And, you know, does it run in their family? Is it in their genes? And we now we can say these are things we need to pay close attention to. So we're paying closer attention to it, but it is our daily practice of what we do every day. And I'm hoping that other stylists will take the time to study trichology and these other things so that they can be educated and they can educate the consumer and be mindful of the services that they're given.
Dr. Hudson, I've got 30 seconds for you. I'll let you have the last word.
You know, the thing that this study does and some other studies which are inconclusive, and this one is it brings up an important point about hair dyes and straighteners, is that we need a policy push in regards to oversight. That's what it does, right? Because I indicated before that there was no oversight of what is actually in these chemicals, in these products, I mean, right? And so if you can have proper oversight from the FDA, I think we can feel somewhat assured of what we're actually placing into our hands and into our bodies.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation.
Oh my God, yeah.
Thank both of you, Dr. Tamara Hudson and Keith Harley. We also do want to thank Dr. Dale Sandler for her contribution to this conversation. That's The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, December 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection.